A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back for a brand new edition of Collider Ladies Night Pre-Party. I am so excited to introduce you all to Ruby Cruz, who is electric in Willow. You in that, I mean it, you in that role are just like a perfect pairing, and I love your energy as Kit so much.
Oh my God, thank you so much, Perry. That is very sweet. That is awesome to hear. Thank you.
I really do mean it. And I have so much that I want to get to learn about you. And we kick off every Collider Ladies Night conversation here. Can you tell us the movie, the performance, personal experience, whatever it may be, that first made you say to yourself, I have to be an actor and nothing else?
Oh my gosh. That's a really good question. I think about this actually often because I feel like I always knew when I was really little that I was going to do this when I was older. That's such a good question because there's so many different moments that sort of solidified that for me. And like, I remember as early as like kindergarten being so sure that I was going to be an actor when I grew up. And like, I was in a production of The Wizard of Oz. Well, it was like The Wizard of Oz meets The Wiz. They sort of did this like their own spin on things. And I was in kindergarten and I was playing a munchkin and then it was the night of the performance and it was like this big hustle and bustle because the lead munchkin who had the solo was sick and couldn't make it. And I remember the director like approaching me and being like, are you ready to take this on tonight? I'm going to cast you and you're going to step up. And I was just like, five, like so prepared, so excited. And I sang my solo and I was like, maybe that moment I decided that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
I feel like having that high pressure moment where you have to step up is a good indicator that you can handle it.
Totally.
Speaking of stage work and doing that with Wizard of Oz, I got the inside information and I found out that you went to theater school at DePaul University. Was the original goal for you? Did you originally dream of being on the stage and not necessarily on screen?
I can't really say that I went to DePaul or the theater school at DePaul because I went for 3 months and then I dropped out. But I was lucky enough to grow up in LA and like sort of always have theater available in school. So I did grow up on like doing stage performances in theater class in like as little as obviously kindergarten and then middle school and high school as well. So I did sort of like grow up on stage, but I think my goal was just really to be able to do this in any capacity. Stage, there's such different beasts and I think they're like both really beautiful in their own right, but I mean I haven't done stage professionally yet and I'd love to, but yeah, I've been lucky enough to sort of do anything, honestly.
Oh, I believe it'll happen. I have to go back and ask because, you know, a lot of times when someone studies acting in a program like that, that works for some people, and for other people, it's better to get out there and gain experience. So what was it while you were studying in that program that made you think to yourself, like, the right best step for me is to go this way instead of to stay in that program?
Yeah, I that was like a big debate in my life for a while because I was auditioning while I was in high school. In the, like, I think my senior year, I started auditioning, and I was doing a few shorts, and that was really exciting and really fun. But then, you know, the natural trajectory is that is expected of you is to go to school and study something before you actually do it. And I like knew I wanted to do it already, and but I decided to try it out. Why not? I grew up in LA, so I've just sort of been here all my life. And I was like, yeah, let's have a new experience. Let's go to school. But it was, you know, it's when I was out there, I mean, my manager back here was like, please come home. There's so much opportunity for you. And it's an insane program, but it just didn't really, I don't know, structure like that isn't really where I feel best or I fit in best. And I knew that I wanted to work and sort of get experience that way. And sort of the cost, you know, it was just like sort of, I think it was best for me to leave. And I am really glad that everyone in my life just supported that decision because, you know, it's a scary one to make, to sort of just be like, no, but I just had this weird, I was really sure of myself. Sorry, I'm like rambling, but I was really sure of myself that I was going to be able to do it. And I'm really glad that I trusted that, I think.
You're clearly carving the right path for yourself. Here's a question that I ask a lot, but I'm curious your answer because you grew up in LA. I feel like most people I ask this to are from somewhere else in the country or the world, and then they like take the plunge and they relocate to LA. But when you're living and growing up in Los Angeles in the Hollywood area, what did you think was step one to becoming an actor? And now looking back, was that first step you took like a legitimate good step to have taken? Or did you find something else that you would recommend to aspiring actors out there?
Oh, interesting question. I mean, I feel like being from LA, I definitely was always surrounded by it and sort of surrounded by the arts. And I mean, I feel like I have my own relationship to LA than since I grew up here, like sort of navigating it and figuring out the different pockets that I feel, because it's so huge. And I feel like it has such a different feel to someone who's from here in comparison to someone who sort of like moves here for the industry. Like I didn't grow up in the industry, so I just sort of learned how to navigate around it and sort of find my homey areas and sort of my friends and stuff. But what was the first leap? I feel like the first, I don't know. I guess I was lucky enough to sort of grow up. I grew up like falling in love with it and sort of like learning more about my relationship to acting and sort of, yeah, I think that was luckily I spent most of my life just like getting to know what acting really meant to me. And then I think I was like, when I was seven, I was like, I'm deciding to do it now. And I started auditioning and I was in a couple commercials. But then I was like, I remember telling my parents, I was like, I feel like this is what I'm going to do when I'm older. I feel like I should just relax and be a kid right now. And then I did. And then I quit. I retired for a while. And then, yeah, I don't know I wish I could have advice for aspiring actors, but it's just like, there's so many different paths to sort of get to where you want to go, and it's different for everyone. And yeah, I don't know.
It is very true. It is different for everyone. That's why I always love these Collider Ladies Night conversations, because yeah, it very well highlights the fact that there's no one right answer for everybody, and really anything is possible.
Exactly. And it's so easy to like fixate on how other people got to somewhere, or like how other people did things, because I don't know, but yeah, it really just is so individual, and it can happen in the blink of an eye, or it can happen over years and years and years of studying and trying at something. So yeah, I think it's just different for everyone.
Here's a big question for you that just came to mind. Based on what you were just saying about finding your relationship to acting, of all the credits that you have thus far, is there any particular one that kind of put that into perspective for you most in terms of, you know, the techniques that you're drawn to, or, you know, the type of stories that I guess creatively fulfill you to tell?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a really interesting question, because each role, I feel like, teaches you something different that for whatever reason you were supposed to learn in that specific moment. And I feel like, ooh, I mean, I don't know. Acting is always so cathartic to me because it just like is sort of me experiencing, I don't know. I mean, it can be so playful and so different and so like play pretend, which I love. And then it also can be like you feeling things that you have neglected to feel for years of your life. I feel like Kit taught me the most about myself and about this industry. And sort of, she was sort of the biggest bite to chew, I think. Yeah, she's a tough one. She's a tough one to crack. And when you do, it was like, she's crazy. I don't know where I'm going with that, but yeah.
She got a whole lot of layers to her. We're going to get to some of that.
And it was hard to learn alongside her, I think, but it was also really rewarding.
All right. I want to hit a couple other titles before we get to Willow. First, let's do Castle Rock, because I believe that was your first big professional set and a first in that respect can, you know, always set, you know, certain expectations in terms of what it might be like to work on like big properties like that going forward. So what were some of the expectations that Castle Rock set for you? And then ultimately moving forward, did other shows meet those expectations or show you new corners of the industry?
Ah, oh, good. I love your questions, Perry. You're very thought-provoking. Okay, Castle Rock was insane because it was just like, it was the first time I was really on I had only ever done shorts before that. And it was just this, I mean, I feel like I've been fortunate enough to be part of like these incredible projects from the get-go. Like I really have just respected everyone I've worked with and been so, I felt so grateful to be able to work with such professionals and sort of like be on sets like that from the beginning of my career, because it just did teach me everything and taught me to be professional in that way from the beginning. And I think, I mean, Castle Rock was so cool because I had Kathy Bates' character and Lizzie Kaplan's take on this character. And it was really fun as an actor to like go back and like watch them and see what they did, and also and then build a whole background for that character and a whole backstory for and like you don't exactly have to like carbon copy like what they did, because people grow and change, and it's sort of like figuring out who someone could have been at the core before they got there. That was really cool. And it was the first time I like traveled for work and was like in a hotel, and just it was really, really fun. And everyone I worked with was really, really welcoming and really comforting. And it was great.
It's a silly question to follow that up, but I feel like once you go on your first like work trip, like you learn all like the packing tips, tricks, and hacks. So like now that you've likely traveled a whole lot more for work, what's like an unexpected, like random thing that you have to have with you to travel so that you can do your best possible work, but also be comfortable wherever you are in the world?
Oh my God. Okay. Well, to that question, honestly, I haven't learned. Like we just did press for Willow in London, and I was there for a week and I brought like 3 suitcases. Like I really just haven't learned to, but I also, I think in regards to acting and like to do my best performance, I don't think I really need anything, which is great, because I mean, except for the one thing I bring with me everywhere is this stuffed animal elephant, and his name is Somsom. And I got him from the Arclight Sherman Oaks gift shop when Arclight was still around, when I was like 7. And I carry him everywhere, and he travels the world with me. And that's what I have to bring everywhere
I go. That makes me so happy. keep that forever, because it's important to you, but also because like the Arclight lives in all of our hearts forever.
Right? Exactly. And the Arclight was such a huge part of like my childhood and growing up, and like going to the theater was my family's favorite thing to do. And now that I have Somsom, it's my last little piece of it. And Somsom comes from everywhere.
Here's another random question for you. As someone who grew up going to the movies often, what movie have you rewatched the most in your life?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good question. Ooh. I mean, I feel like maybe here's the thing. There's so like a comfort movie of mine, or like it's sort of more of just like, I guess it's its own genre, is whenever I need a comfort movie, whenever I'm sick, whenever I'm sad, whenever I just want to like feel better, I watch anything Adam Sandler. So I feel like I've seen a lot of Adam Sandler's movies over and over again. And then, but also I think Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was like, I watched that when I was 14. And I remember that was also a very pivotal moment where I was like, okay, this, like that made me feel unlike I've ever felt before. And that movie just blew me away. And I think that I've watched it sort of every year, I feel like, since then. And it does something different to me. And I feel like that was a big moment watching that movie. I watched it on my birthday when I was turning 14 with my friend Chelsea. She showed me it. And I was like, I want to make that movie. That would be it.
What's it like having that movie make such a big impression on you and then going on to work opposite Kate Winslet in Mare of Easttown?
Oh my God, it was crazy. That was crazy. I still don't believe that she's been an idol of mine for so long, and meeting her and learning that she's an actual angel, I think she's just so amazing. She was so present with everyone on set, with every sort of, you know, sets are huge, bustling, so many working pieces, so many faces, and she was just always right there with whoever she was talking to. And I think I admire her so much just as who she is, and also her work. She's the best. I love her.
It always makes me so happy to hear when like idols live up to our standards. And that's definitely something that's not surprising to hear about her, given how many of her scene partners I've spoken to and just watching her in interviews too. She's always like peak professional and always giving responses that just show off like the deepest passion for her craft.
Exactly. Exactly. And she, like, I felt like I was a fairly small role. And it was such a big production that I was filming only a couple days every month. So, but every time I'd come back, she'd be like, Ruby, like, what's new? And ask me questions and remember things. And it made me feel so comfortable in such a like foreign environment like that. It was so awesome.
Oh, it's so important on sets like that. All right, let's get into Willow. I guess let's start with the audition process. My big question about that is, what would you say is the biggest difference between auditioning for like a gigantic, high-profile Disney project versus anything else you've ever auditioned for?
That's okay. Well, so I didn't know what I was auditioning for at first when I first read it, because it's Lucasfilm. It's so kept under wraps. Like, they're so secretive with everything. John wrote, like, who's the writer and showrunner? He wrote the scene where I'm like in a cafe or something, and I'm just like really being mean to this girl. And so I like read it, and I wasn't really sure what it was at first. And then I think after that, I can't even remember. My audition process was super, super fast. Like, I got brought on pretty late in the game, and I sent in my tape. I filmed it over FaceTime with my manager Shayna, and like filmed on my computer. My technology is always breaking down, so Shayna's always like FaceTiming me trying to help me. So I sent that in, and then the next day I think I got a call from John that was like, hey, so yeah, we're gonna do a chemistry read tomorrow. And I was like, shoot, okay. So then I did this chemistry read with Ellie Bamber, who was insane, so wonderful, so lovely. And I remember being extremely nervous and telling her that her voice sounded like a flute, and then being like, I'm so sorry, like just being really apologetic and telling them outwardly that I was very nervous and I thought I completely bombed it. And I don't normally get nervous, honestly. I don't know if it was the scale of the production, bringing it back to your question, but it was more of just like, I think I really cared about it. And when that happens, you sort of get worked up or sort of doubt yourself more. And yeah, I remember after that, I just called Shayna and I was like, I'm saying goodbye. I'm saying goodbye. I'm releasing it. I'm letting it go. I think I even texted John, because we were like talking, And I was like, I'm letting this go. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm going to go like take a shot of tequila. I think that's exactly what I said to him. And then I just sort of forgot about it, or tried to, but thought about it all day. And then the next day I got the call that I was going to move to Wales. It happened like in the span of 3 days. It was roller coaster. It was a roller coaster moment.
That is absolutely wild, given how fast that happened, and also how many layers that we discover of Kit throughout the first season of the show. What would you say is the biggest difference between your very first impression of her when you first signed on, and then ultimately who she turned out to be, especially as you, even like, you know, behind the scenes and for yourself, started to kind of fill in her world, you know, in between the lines on the pages that you were given?
Right. I mean, Kit is so abrasive. You meet her and she's so strong and she's so brave and she's so sure of herself, which is like, I really admire that. But she's also so abrasive, so reactive, so quick to just blow up and like not think before she speaks. And I mean, I feel like there were moments in the beginning where it's like, you want people to root for this character, you know, you want people to ultimately like her, even though she is so mean. Like, I think I was thinking about that in the beginning, but I think as time went on and as I learned more about her, it's just that I think is what makes her so special and so beautiful, is that she is so messy and has no idea what she's talking about most of the time and gets herself into trouble and is wrong about things. And I think that is also really admirable, and to watch her learn and to learn with her was super cool, and sort of to be able to be this representation of the complications of growing up, but like as a young woman too, like I don't know, like she's just so unique and so authentic to how messy life can get. And I that sort of sentence didn't make sense, but I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. And I think it was also really cool, was we were going sort of on this journey together, no matter how different the journeys were or how different we were. Like, I was moving to Wales and I was going into the unknown and I was like taking on this role in this project and this new experience that I'd never done before, and sort of I'm in a new world where I don't know anyone in Wales. Like, I just like sort of transplanted into a new place and had to figure it out for myself. I think that was very similar to what she was going through. She went out into the unknown and sort of was around all these people that she didn't know or trust yet, and I think that was a really cool parallel that we went on that quest together. There we go.
I love it. I have to let you go in a minute, so I'm going to squeeze in one more question, and I'll put up the spoiler warning for this one for anyone out there who has not seen the first episode of Willow. Oh, we have a few more minutes. All right, I'm going to do this one, but then I have a fun question that I want to end on.
Okay.
All right, so spoiler alert for the first episode of Willow season one. Everyone has been warned. Okay, so this is like a big convoluted question, but I'm very curious, after Allura's identity is revealed to Kit, what was it like trying to figure out the right balance of responses for her to have and how she starts behaving after that? Because there's so many layers. Like, you were annoyed by her before and you still are now, but also like, I guess the group power dynamic changes, especially for someone like Kit, who's probably always used to being the highest priority to protect. And then like on top of that, there's also so many moments where, like, yes, you two bicker, but Kit always steps up and protects her when she needs to. So what was it like making sure all of those things are present, but like one is not overwhelming the other too much?
That was really fun to play with, honestly, because that relationship is so, so layered. How much have you seen? I also don't want to spoil anything because
I've seen six episodes.
Okay. Well, okay. Obviously, initially, Kit is, she grew up as royalty, you know? She grew up, although no matter how hard she tries to reject her responsibility and her like, no matter how hard she tries to run from that life that she was born into, she grew up royalty. She grew up a princess in a kingdom that is kept inside of a barrier where all she knows is everybody knows each other, the small town where she's the most important person. And she's definitely like having someone else now be the center of attention is really, I feel like, shocking to her. To her entire senses, her entire existence. Like especially someone that she like thought to be she was so sure she was absolutely just an obstacle to get over and move past. Like, and Allura, I think, they're both such big personalities and they both have they're so stubborn. They're so similar in so many ways that I think like, holding that mirror up and actually seeing someone be strong and defensive back, I think was like sort of very tough for her. But also like, I don't want to spoil anything, but her father, she grew up hearing stories about her father and Allura Danann and that sort of side to her is a very soft spot. And I think working that in, their relationship changes so much throughout the whole. I don't want to say another word.
You're doing a really good job dancing around the later season spoiler. I feel like I've hit the game changing part. I think it's episode 5 and 6 where some stuff happens, and it's some really really effective scenes that I also will not go too far in talking about, but they're very very good. I'll wrap this up with one silly one, but I love asking this question just because I love zombie apocalypse movies. So I'm going to paint a scene for you right now. There is a zombie outbreak on the set of Willow. You can pick 2 co-stars to team up with you. Who do you pick in order to give yourself the best chance of surviving a zombie outbreak?
Oh my God. Well, see, that's hard because you're asking me who.
Wait, like the real people, not their characters.
In my brain, in my brain, I go, you're asking me to pick 2 people to save. But then I'm like, well, how do I know that I'm gonna be the one to, like, but I do know I'm the one to survive. Honestly, I feel like I'd make it out okay. I think I might not fight the fight, but I would maybe learn how to live among them or something. I don't know. I think I'd probably take, I think me, Dempsey, and Aaron could put our heads together and figure out, I don't know what we'd do. We'd like go to Costco or something and lock the doors and just live there. And then I'd pick them because we'd have fun.
I can't believe there hasn't been a zombie apocalypse movie where people are not at a mall, but they're in a Costco. That makes a million times more sense.
There's like one door. There's one in and out. You shut it. You're fine. Oh, you can live there. There's furniture. There's food. You make a life.
That movie not colony.
Costco colony.
I'm hoping we're willing this into existence because I want to see that movie.
Right? Where would you go? Where would you go?
I mean, now I'm going to Costco.
Right? That was like when I was little, I was like, that's brilliant. That's so smart.
I would die in a zombie apocalypse mainly because I live in LA, but my family is in New York. So I would do the stupid thing where I would like pack up the cat and get in the car and try to drive cross country to get to. And obviously I would never make it because like people on the road would kill me. There wouldn't be gas, something like that.
Yeah. What would happen to planes? Do you think they would? Would they go down?
Planes are going down.
Planes are gone.
Yeah. all I can think of now is have you seen Station 11?
I haven't.
The HBO series.
I have.
So good. But there's an airport component that is very very good.
Ooh. I think of Warm Bodies. Don't they have aren't they in the plane for a while? They're like living.
They do. They're in an airport. So if you watch, this is the weirdest thing. If you watch Warm Bodies, they took journalists on set of that movie to do a set visit, and they dressed us all up as zombies. And there's a
wait, you would have did this?
I mean, I'm like,
like a teeny tiny dot in That's like the so corner cool. of a frame, but I am there and wearing everything that I would not normally wear in real life.
Oh my God. I love that more than anything. That's so smart. That's very, so smart.
Very, very random experience. All right. I think I have to let you go now because you have a lot of work to do because you have a show to celebrate. But seriously, huge, huge, huge congratulations on Willow. And there is no doubt in my mind you will be back on this show soon and I'll get to ask you more of my weird random questions.
I love your questions very much. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.